Great. Thanks, Daryl. Can everyone hear me okay? Perfect. As Daryl said, my name is Michael Hawker, and I'm going to give you a tour of Network Monitor 3.3. So first off, let me talk a little bit more about who I am. I'm a program manager on the Network Monitor team. I'm in charge of running our new experts portal on CodePlex, and I've been at Microsoft since last September. And my main focus has been on our API and user interface development. Just an interesting tidbit about myself, I did my master's thesis on massively multiplayer online games. So today I want to talk to you about Network Monitor, but specifically I hope to help you understand more about how to capture, filter, and find the specific data you're looking for with our tool, locate specific protocol information based on parser reference information, and help you document captures and traces with particular issues you may find in them that you can pass on to other people and really get some more collaborative work going on in your team using our tool. So let's give a little bit of background on Network Monitor itself. It's been around for quite a while, but it's gone through a lot of changes over the years. So the original development started in the 1990s, and it was stopped after version 2.1 around the same time of Windows for Workgroups. So this has been around for a long, long time. And it started up again a few years ago, and Network Monitor 3 was released as part of a new effort in 2006. And since then, we've gone through a few extra updates, and the most recent of which, 3.3, was released just this past April. So with the new Network Monitor, we had this new vision of the product. We had a new team, and we wanted to provide a new design, and kind of we just overhauled the product and gave it a whole new code base and just started fresh. And so some of our original goals for the Network Monitor 3 product were that we wanted to make capturing network traffic easy to do and allow you to save it, of course. We wanted to let you narrow down and find your traffic that you were looking for. We, of course, wanted to make it very easy to use and make it faster to troubleshoot and analyze your network data to really drill down and find the problems that you needed to find for your day-to-day work. We wanted to have a simpler and safer parser model. The Network Monitor 2 series used a series of C dynamically linked libraries, and it was all very kind of complex. And as we all know, there's a lot of security concerns when you're doing that sort of loading of DLLs. And so we wanted to really move away from that model into something that was a little bit more safer and that we had a lot more control over, but also gave a lot more power and flexibility to you to develop your own parsers. We wanted to try and work on performance a bit and try and keep up with, you know, the ever-increasing network speeds, not drop as many frames, those sorts of scenarios. We wanted to enable some automation into the capturing interface so that you could actually, you know, set up scripts to automate capture and collect traces in specific scenarios. And we wanted our parsers to be very accurate, so you'd always know exactly what type of traffic you were looking at. Oops. Forgot about that, sorry. So let me dive into to what this talk is really about, and that's using Network Monitor to help you in your day-to-day work. So today we're just going to kind of go over the Red Bus tour and just talk a little bit about everything, so and hopefully give you a good base to start with to dive in with the product and really get to know how to use it. And for those of you that are familiar with the product already, I'll be covering some of our latest features that were put in 3.3. So if you haven't checked out the latest version, it gives you an opportunity to see what you're missing if you're not up to date. So some of the basic things are just going to be capturing network traffic, narrowing down, finding what the traffic you need to find is, and just diving into to frame details, and really just going into a little bit of everything. So the first view you're presented with when you start Network Monitor is the start page. And so on here, you'll find a brief overview of what's new in the product since the last release. So you can see here in 3.3, we've added quite a few features, and I'll be going over all of those today. You also have the Select Networks dialog on the bottom left corner. And that lets you select which capturing interfaces you like to capture traffic on. That's a nice feature of network monitors. They can actually capture on multiple adapters, such as your wireless and your wired connection, tunnel interfaces, those sorts of things, all at the same time. You also have the ability to select promiscuous mode, which I'll talk a little bit more later, but that basically lets you capture all the traffic instead of just the traffic destined to your machine. And you have the also a kind of a recent captures list, so you can see all the captures you've opened up recently. It also gives you a quick link to start a new capture session or to open a saved capture. And actually, as soon as you save a capture, it'll appear in that list, so it's a nice way to jump and quickly access captures that you've just saved. So let's dive into to really the meat of things and how you get started with capturing. So from the start page, as I just showed, you can select your network interfaces, and you can create a new capture tab. And then there's a simple little start button, and that's just going to start capturing any data that's coming on your machine. And you can select details from there to dive into more information. And so let's look at this a little bit more closely. So on the capture tab, we have a lot of information, but it's a lot of useful information. And we have a lot of ways that you can actually narrow down and find the traffic you're looking for, which we'll be going over today. So one of the first things you can do is you can actually enter a display filter. And this will help narrow down your traffic that you're looking at without narrowing down the traffic that you're capturing. So you can capture all the traffic you want, but you can kind of focus your view on what you need to find. Or you can also apply just a capture filter if you know that you're only looking for TCP traffic and don't care about anything else, but then, of course, you don't have the option to get it back later like you do with a display filter. Second is we have the network conversations window. So this is on the left-hand side, and it provides a lot of different information about what's happening on your machine. And I'll go into that in a lot more detail. But one of the latest features we added in 3.2 was the ability to track processes. So you can actually see which processes are sending what network data on your machine. So that's something we're always excited about because it really helps, you know, if you know you're using Internet Explorer, you're diagnosing some web development sort of thing, or if you know that you have an application that's trying to transfer files between your box and another, then you can, you know, drill down to that specific process and look at that specific data that you know you're interested in. The other thing, too, is we have the frame summary. So this actually shows all the different packets that are coming in on the wire, and it'll progressively just get longer and longer of a list as you continue to capture. And so when you click on a packet there, it'll drive this frame details view, which will actually give you a tree of all the different fields in that actual packet, so you can drill down and find the information you're looking for. And of course, you can just see the raw bytes that have been coming over the wire as well in the hex details. So another new feature we have in 3.3 is called auto scroll. So now you can actually keep up with the live data coming in on your box, and in the frame summary, it'll actually bring you to the latest packets that are coming in. So it's a pretty useful feature because you can especially just really see what's coming in. If you have a filter and you know you're only collecting a very small amount of traffic, you'll instantly see when that new packet arrives. You can also, as I mentioned, capture in promiscuous mode, which will capture any traffic coming into your machine and not just showing you the traffic that's specifically destined to your machine. So it's nice if you've got routers on a local network, you can see traffic from the other machines as well. We also provide NMCAP, which is a command line utility that provides some of the automation I talked about and is higher performing. So if you're going to do captures for many, many hours or days, you're going to want to use the NMCAP tool instead of the user interface. And as I said, the user interface captures the process information. So it gives you the nice little tree here. So you can see I had some Outlook traffic, some Internet Explorer traffic. So it really helps you drill down quickly to what you're looking for. We can also capture on wireless network cards. So pretty much most hardware supported now. So that's not something you should worry about. I've never run into a case where it hasn't worked, but it's really easy. You just select your wireless network in the network selection dialog, and you're good to go. New in 3.3 for Windows 7 and some Vista systems, we capture on the wireless WAN mobile adapters and also tunnel adapters. So that's a nice new feature. We also support frame truncation, so you can actually only capture the first however many bytes of a packet. So if you know you're only interested in headers, you can save yourself some space and just capture parts of the frames, and that's available in our options. So a few things to consider while you're capturing. So normally, traffic has to arrive to your machine, obviously, to capture it. We have the promiscuous mode, which is just this little P-mode button. So you can select the adapter, you can click on the P-mode button, and that'll enable promiscuous mode for your session. As soon as you close Network Monitor and open it again, it'll reset to not capturing in promiscuous mode. Remember, some switches and routers may block some traffic. So you might not necessarily see all the traffic, or you might have to configure your router to actually forward all packets to all the machines on the network if you're trying to capture, you know, all the traffic on that local area network from a single box. Sometimes, of course, if you provide too much filtering, you're going to miss some information, especially if you're using capture filters, you're going to miss out on some information, and since sometimes protocols depend on each other, it could kind of mess with the data that you're seeing in your trace. So sometimes it's better to capture all the data and then filter later, but it really depends on your scenario and the rate of traffic you're receiving. If you're receiving lots and lots of traffic, you might want to filter out so you don't have as much data, but there's pros and cons to both, but I'll talk a little bit more about that later. On very high-speed networks, above gigabit, then it's possible to drop frames. One thing we added in 3.2 was an indicator to tell you how many frames we dropped. This is in the UI and in our command line utility. But it's really just bounded by your CPU and hard disk limitations. That's the main point is what we do is we actually, as soon as we get a network packet, we actually save it to the disk into a temporary buffer. Then we try and parse it and see if you have a filter applied, and then we'll pass it on to you. So there's this whole kind of complex system to ensure that we're not going to lose any data for you. But if you've got a filter applied, then it might be slowing down because we can't parse as fast if you've got a gigabit amount of traffic coming through, and then we can't continually play catch up. So at that point, if the buffer gets filled up while we're doing all the parsing, there's some edge case scenarios there. But for the most part, the important thing to remember now is that we've got this nice huge buffer on the disk, so it's pretty safe just to keep on capturing, and we'll get your data for you. And so Network Monitor is not just a user interface. We've got a very powerful command line utility called NMCAP. And so you can script with this. You can access protocol elements for filtering just like you can in our user interface. And you can capture live. You can actually input another trace that you've already captured in here. So you can do some advanced filtering. You can decide if you want to chain captures together or create a circular buffer. So there's a lot of different options that are provided with the command line utility, some that aren't even in our user interface. You have some start and stop features, so you can decide to start saving the information when you hit a certain type of information. You can ping it to stop it, and it's automatically in your path when you install Network Monitor. So let me actually dive into the product a bit here, and I'll actually start with our command line utility, because I know that's something that interests a lot of people too. And this, let me bring up a command shell here. So I'll go to my documents directory. And then I can see that nmcap is in my path. And you can always type in a question mark, get all the command line parameters. There's quite a few of them. Another important one is example, so it'll actually give you sample example command lines, you can parameters you can pass in for different scenarios. So that's a nice little trick to know. So I'm just going to capture some network traffic. So I'm going to say that I'm going to capture on all my networks with /network*, and then I want to capture only TCP traffic. If I had a more complex filter, I could put it in quotes, and that would be good. And then I'm just going to save it to a file. So there we go. And so now I'll see that conversations are enabled. So if you're going to capture for an extended period of time, there's a command switch you can use to disable conversations, so it won't keep track of all the different pairings of the packets coming in. And I'll talk more about conversations in a bit. But I can see how many packets I've received here and actually how many that have been TCP that I'm saving.
So in /capture, can you specify /capture SMB?
So the question was, can I just specify SMB, correct? And you can. We have a SMB parser, so you can just put SMB as your filter, and it'll capture SMB packets only. So I'll get into that in a little bit, but we have a very complex filtering language which allows you a lot of flexibility to find whatever particular protocol you're interested in or combinations, etc. So let me stop this. I haven't generated much traffic, so I'm not going to see much, but I can hit Control-C. And as I said, you can set it up to stop when you hit specific types of events, like if you ping a certain IP address. And so now I can actually go into the UI, find that capture file, TCP test, and open it up. So now I can see I've got those 14 packets that I've captured. So let's dive in a little bit more about what you can do with the user interface. And let me just put a quick slide up here. So now that we have a trace, you know, maybe we want to filter down and we want to save more specific information. Obviously, with the trace I just captured, there's not that much information in there, but maybe there's a particular frame I'm interested in and I want to send to a colleague. So with Network Monitor, you can save that specific frame or a specific set of frames into a new capture, and you can basically save anything you want. You can save filters that you've created so you can recall them later. If there's a task you're always, you know, performing, there's traffic you're always looking for, this is kind of a fast, easy way to expedite your work. And we have aliases, which I'll talk a little bit more about later, but it basically lets you assign certain code names to IP addresses so that it's easy to recognize when a particular machine is in your trace. And another thing we do is we load PCAP files, which is the Linux/Wireshark format. So we can open those up natively in Network Monitor. We've extended that support a bit with 3.3, so there's more types of those traces you can open. And another important note, if you're working with some older versions, is our file format changed in 3.2. So traces created from 3.2 on can't be opened in 3.1, but we can open up anything back from Netmon 2. So if you're on the latest version, it's the best way to know that you can open up any of our traces. And another thing we have is what's called the Frame Buffer Manager. So this makes it a little easier to specifically capture and place in a new trace specific frames and packets from multiple sources. So let's dive into that a little bit more. So I've got this trace, and let's say I want to filter this down a little bit more. And I know, for instance, that packets 3, 5, and 9 are what I'm really interested in. So what I can do is I can go up to the File menu, and I can go Save As, and I can select selected frames. And so now if I save this trace out, I can quickly go to the Start page, select my capture, and I'll see I have those three frames that I selected right there. Another thing I can do is I can go to Add Selected Frames To and what's called the Frame Buffer Manager. Oops. And that gives me this dialog here. So what I can actually do is I can create a new capture file. And I can go to another trace altogether, and I can see that file I've created there. So I can add the frame there. I can go back to my Frame Buffer Manager. I can see that I have two frames saved, and I can just close the file. And if I open it again, I'll see those two frames. So it's a really easy way if you're doing a lot of, you know, you're taking traces on multiple machines, you're doing a lot of complex diagnostics, you can actually grab specific frames that you know are causing problems or are part of your scenario, put them in one trace and make it very easy to pass on to someone else. So let's dive even deeper here and get into probably what's a little bit more interesting. And that's finding the information you're looking for, right? Especially on the high-speed networks today, you are collecting massive amounts of data in a short amount of time, and you need simple ways in order to get down and find the information that's going to help you solve your problem. So, as I mentioned before, we have the conversation tree, which shows process information. We have filters, which I've talked a little bit about, specifically in terms of finding specific protocols, but there's a lot more you can do with these tools. And you can really just dive down as deep as you want and get as fine detailed as you'd like with our filtering language. We can also reassemble captures. So if you have fragmented data, once you load the capture, there's a reassembly button. I'll show you that. You can annotate captures, so you can actually comment now in 3.3 a specific packet that you're interested in, and then save the capture, pass it on to someone else, and they'll be able to instantly see that you've commented on a frame, you've written some notes, and that they can continue where you left off. So this is really exciting in the collaborative environments that we work with today, that you know, you can actually save information specifically about a packet in a frame with detail about that frame in one spot and pass it on. And also I'll talk about how you can find specific documentation for these protocols. So I've talked a little bit about conversations, but what exactly are they? So it's really just a simple logical grouping of frames. And a conversation is defined by the protocol. So for example, in the IP world, a conversation is just a tuple between the source and destination IP addresses. regardless of which direction you're traveling in. TCPs go by port number, et cetera, but it's not limited to just connection-oriented protocols. You can really kind of define a conversation on any two bits of data that you'd like. So we can see, for example, here under Internet Explorer, we have IPv4 conversations between two IP addresses. Most of them are between my machine, of course, and some other destination, some web server somewhere. We can drill down, we can see TCP conversations by the port number, and you can really get as fine-grained as you want, depending on the protocols that you're seeing. And as I mentioned, in 3.2 and above, you get the process information, and that'll actually be saved in the capture file, so it'll be passed along when you open it up again. You'll continue to see that. And it's really just a visual way to help you really dive in at first, right? Most of the times you know what specific application you're using, what's generating the traffic, or you know, you have an idea of what IP addresses you're going with. So if it can be a quick way to just simply click on that and filter down into the data. And as I mentioned, conversations can be enabled and disabled. By default in the user interface, they're enabled, and in NMCAP. But you can disable those if you want some higher performance, but you're going to lose the ability to see this information. So when you click on a conversation node, it filters on that conversation. You can also right-click on a specific frame, and you can go to the conversation. And so scanning the children can kind of give you a basic idea of what's going on in the trace. And when you add a display filter, it's combined with the conversation. And so let me just get into this a little bit and go back to the network monitor here. So close these. Okay. So I'm going to open up a larger trace here. And so I can see I have quite a few different conversations. So if I knew my web server's IP address, and maybe, for instance, I knew it was this conversation here that I was interested in, I can actually see all this data. And maybe I'm only interested in the specific packets that are HTTP. So I can add a display filter here, and I can see my 5 HTTP packets that were the original requests and response. So it really makes it easy in a few seconds that with a little bit of information I knew, I can drill down and find those specific frames I'm looking in. And now I can click on a frame, and I can see more detailed information about HTTP, and I can see, the user agent was Mozilla. And I can actually see in the hex details where in the packet that information came from. And in the reverse, I can double-click somewhere in the hex details and see where it is in the frame details. So there's a lot of power here in terms of navigation that lets you really find information that you're interested in an easy way. Another couple of tricks you can do is you can right-click on the conversation node, and you can actually copy and paste that as a filter. So you can actually kind of combine multiple conversations to look at once if you'd like. You can actually save that out into a new file, as I showed before, and then do some more complex filtering without having to always continually carry those filters through. So you can use your imagination, and you can think of all the different ways that you can take data that you're interested in, combine it into new captures, and really explore different ways of looking at the data that you didn't think about before. So let's talk more about filtering and what you can actually do. And a big thing we get is just question we get is, where do I start? And so once you're in a capture tab or you have a file open, the capture filter is only in the capture tab. But you have the display filter dialog. They look both the same, and you just have this big blank box, right? So if you know the protocol name, you can simply type it in: SMB, TCP, HTTP. Most of them are pretty straightforward, and that'll get you just your, that protocol. But there's a lot more to it than that, but thankfully we provide IntelliSense. So if you start typing with a dot, you'll actually see all the options available to you. Most of the all the protocols are under something called protocol. So you can say protocol dot, and you can see the list of protocols that we have parsers for. But after that, you can hit dot again, and you can get all the fields that are in that protocol that you can actually search and filter on. We also have a large list of standard filters. So there's a menu here on that toolbar that will actually drop down and provide a whole different range of filters that we've already provided that help you with common scenarios of finding specific types of traffic or filtering out specific types of noise. So to simply use one of those, you can go in the standard filter list, click on the one that you're interested in, and it'll append that to whatever filter you have in the box. We also provide an easy way to build filters from traffic that you already have. So if you have a specific packet you know you're interested in, you can right-click on it, add a filter for it, and start building a filter kind of in a visual manner with the data that you already have. And there's also ways to search on data specifically. So if you know a specific address contains Microsoft, you can use the contains to search for within a field, or you can just search with contains bin on the whole entire packet, looking for specific binary data. But I'll get into that a little bit more in a second. And there's, of course, a lot of documentation provided in our help on using filters. So as I said, you can use the IntelliSense with the dot. So that provides you a nice list of everything that you have access to. We have color filters too. So these are really a neat utility because you can provide certain scenarios and assign a color to them, and then you'll visually see any of those packets matching that filter in our user interface. And I'll show you that in a second as well. The other nice thing, which was part of our goal of making filtering easier, is that filtering is the same throughout the product. So if you have a display filter, if you have a capture filter, if you're using our command line utility, or you're trying to create this colorization scheme, all the filters are the same. So you just have one language to learn, and it applies across the product. And as I mentioned, you can right-click, and there's a nice add to display filter, so it can help you. You know, if you're not too sure where to start, you can take the data that you already have, and if you know you're searching on a specific port, you can simply add that to your filter. And so let me dive in a little bit more and actually show you this in the product. So I've already showed you some basic filtering, but let's say I didn't know where to start. So I can remove my filter. Another thing to remember is that the conversation filter is always applied in combination with the display filter. So if you want to look at all your traffic again, you need to click on the All Traffic node. So now I have a bunch of data. Let's say I was interested in a specific IP address. So I can right-click on that IP address in the column and add that to my display filter. And now I can see that I instantly have a nice filter that I can apply and get all that specific information destined to that IP address. Was that exciting? and this works on anything. I can remove that. I can search on a specific protocol. I can combine them. Oops. Clicked the wrong, well. Sorry. So now it automatically adds to what you have with an OR, but I can change this to an AND. So now I'll see any traffic that's an ARP packet destined to that source IP address. In this case, it's only the one that I've created, but you know, you can use this utility to create a more complex filter in a very easy fashion with the data that you have. As I said, if you have a packet that you know you're interested in, so let's say I have this HTTP packet, but I want to know what data was associated with this. I can right-click on that packet, I can go find conversation, and at any level in the protocol stack, I can go and see what conversation data is associated with that. So let's say I go to HTTP. So now I'll see the HTTP traffic associated with that because it instantly goes to the conversation tree, selects the node that it belongs to, and then it will automatically filter in for me. And I could go over here, I could go back up to the TCP parent, and now I see all those related packets. Is that exciting? Cool. So let's say I'm going through a trace, and I'm always interested in specific types of data, just kind of on a side. So I can create a color filter to display this information without kind of interrupting my workflow. So let's kind of look at a standard filter here. So let's say, authentication traffic. That's interesting to me. So I have this standard filter here that shows authentication traffic. And if I apply it, I'll see that I have none. So that's not going to be too useful in this instance. But it was a nice way to know for me to easily find in a few seconds if I have that sort of traffic or not. There's another one for TCP payloads. I'm not really giving good examples here. I apologize. But you can see there's a very breadth of detailed information we've already provided. This one's really kind of more interesting, and this is the contains bin. So now I can actually search for specific information in a trace. This one I know should work. So what I've told it to do is within the frame binary data of the packets, in an ASCII way, search for the string Mike. And so what I've seen is that there's one frame here. And so somewhere in this binary data is the word Mike. And I'll show an easier way of finding this out too in a little bit. But it's in there. So let's say I'm always interested in that sort of data. I can go up to the filter menu and color filters. And I can actually create a rule to do this all the time. So I have access to my standard filters. I can put any filter I'd like in here. So I can use the one I just used. I can apply some color. I can, make the font bold, change the background color. You have a lot of options. And so now I'll see that frame that contained that data is now highlighted. So, as I said, you can filter on any protocol data field, process names, really the sky's the limit. You can apply capture filters if you know specifically what type of data you're capturing. You can have different display filters, so you can capture all your data or specific sets of data, but only see specific information. Color filters really open up all kinds of different possibilities. You can see all your TCP retransmits at a glance. You can show parser errors. We have over 40 standard filters. So for instance, if you want to find all your name resolution traffic, you could use this one that's provided in the menu. You can write your own filters and save them. It's as I showed you, it's a really easy thing to do. And you can even find specific frames with Control F, type in a filter, and it'll find all those packets for you. So there's lots of different ways at really drilling down and finding the information that you need. And then again, we have the aliases that I mentioned before. So with 3.3, you can actually right-click on an IP address and add an alias directly. So let's quickly take a look at this. So if I look at my HTTP traffic, here's a request, right? So with the request packet, I can maybe assume that I'm the source. So what I can do is I can right-click on that IP address, I can create an alias for the source address, that'll automatically populate this dialog with the IP address, and I can type in client. Now if I apply these, I'll instantly see now my source address has been replaced with client. So at a glance, I can instantly see that my trace is pertaining to me. And I can actually save these and set them as a default, so no matter which trace I load, I'll always see these same aliases. Another cool thing you can do is in the frame details and hex details and even the frame summary view is you can right-click and you can copy a textual representation of the packet. So you can get the whole tree that you've expanded out in the frame details. You can get the whole list of columns from the frame summary. So you could select a bunch of frames, copy that data in Excel, send it off, you know, with some extra analysis to it. There's a world of possibilities. Whatever you really want to do with that data, you have access to it. As I showed before, you can click in the hex details or the frame details, and you can see the corresponding bytes or field information. You can actually use a button called decode as with a trace to actually force it to parse as different types of data. So, or if you write a custom parser, for particular sets of data or parts of data, you can even just, you know, tell Network Monitor to take those bytes and interpret them as something else. So it kind of gives you some flexibility depending on your scenarios. And you can actually reassemble the data as well. So let's talk a little bit more about reassembly. So a lot of protocols come with fragmented data, right? The network has to break them down into smaller chunks and send them to your machine. And this happens at multiple layers. So what we can do is we can actually have Network Monitor reassemble this back into a single packet for you to analyze automatically. And so if you open a capture that you've already created with NMCAP or the user interface, you can actually just click on the reassemble button and a new window will open up with all the fragmented frames reassembled with a new packet. And there's an easy way to search for those frames because we automatically put the payload header on them. And finally, you can actually comment the frames too. So once you've done all this analysis work, you filtered down, you've reassembled, you filtered down for a packet, you can actually just tag it right there and then and save it again, send it off to your colleague who's the next level of support or, you know, has more in-breadth knowledge of that particular protocol and really just open up the collaborative possibilities. So let's just jump into that. So I can see I have the reassemble button here. So I can click on that. And that gives me a new view here. I think So I can see here, reassembled protocol TCP. And so I have my complete packet. I can look at the payload, has the entire set of data there. And so let's say I'm more interested in some data about the reassembly. So I've got my tree here. You know, maybe I was interested in more of the IP address properties here. So what I can actually do is I can copy these. And let's say I go into WordPad. I copy that information. You know, maybe I say that looks odd for some reason. I'm not expecting to see that IP address on my network, or whatever reason. You can imagine a scenario. But what I can actually do now is on that frame, I can go to my frame comments, I can click the edit button, and I can actually paste that information in. I can say, I can save my comment. I'll notice there's a little pound sign next to that frame number indicating that there's a comment. And I can save this trace out. So if I go back, I can open that file with a comment. We have a special variable called frameVariable.commentTitle. And if I apply this, it'll show me that that frame has a comment. So now I can go down here, I can go to frame comments, and I can see what my colleagues told me about that packet. Is that exciting? Not something you could think you could do before, right?
Better you can move the mouse if the comment comes up.
So let me talk about something that I'm sure you're all interested too, and that's our parsers. So we have a lot of parsers. We actually have more code in our parsers than we do our product itself, which is an exciting, interesting fact that I learned the other day. But it's written in this network monitor parsing language. It's a very simple, concise language that was specifically developed for protocols. And all this source code to these parsers is included with the network monitor product. So you go and download it. It comes with all these parsers, and you can go and you can see the source code and how it's actually drilling down and breaking apart your protocol data. And all these are actually open sourced on CodePlex now, so you can go up every month and get the latest set of parsers that have been updated with bug fixes, or we might have new parsers available. It's pretty exciting. It's just the bleeding edge on CodePlex right now. And it's very easy to write your own parsers, so if you have a custom protocol or you want to kind of do some ad hoc, looking at data different ways or looking at more specific application data, you can actually write your own protocol parser and just add that right in and get to see that data right away. And another new feature in 3.3 is we actually have what's called right-click, go to definition. So this really lets you drill down and find information in the actual parser. So from the frame details view, if you see like TCP source port and you want to know how we got that information, you can actually go right click, go to definition, and it'll actually jump you right to our parser tab on that specific line, and you can see where that field's defined. So now you have a very easy way to navigate through these parsers and understand better about how it breaks things down. Excuse me. And at the top of every parser file, so once you've done this, if you need to know more about the actual protocol documentation, you can scroll up to the top of the file, and it'll list the specific documents and resources where that information was found. So RFCs for public protocols, or the actual MSDN documentation for Microsoft parsers. So it's a very exciting tool. Is there a question? This language is, the question was, if the language is documented. And it's all documented within the product. If you go to the help file, you can actually go and see, we'll say NPL language reference, and there's an overview. Up on CodePlex, there's a tutorial that walks you through step-by-step writing a simple protocol parser. So it's all documented within the product. So the question is, can you reassemble packets with the parsing language itself? And the answer is yes. Everything in terms of conversations, so generating that conversation tree with your own parser, reassembling packets that may be fragmented, that's all possible through the language, and that's documented as well. Great questions. Thank you. Sorry, Will? Right, so we'll just wanted to make sure I pointed out again that everything's about the parsers is open source up on CodePlex. So you can go download all the parsers, but they're already included in the product. So you just go to the parsers tab. I can show you quickly here too. You go to the parsers tab. All the protocols are here. There's 341 right here. So there's just a really amazing breadth of knowledge in here. And, you know, I can click on one of these parsers, let's say MSRPC. I get the whole protocol data here. I can see how it breaks down all the information it gets on the wire. I can even scroll to the top, and I can see the actual specific references used to create this parser. So a lot of these are Microsoft references for Microsoft protocols. You can just grab this little code here, type it in MSDN, and get the protocol document reference quickly and easily. So let's talk about the parsers tab a little bit more. So as I showed, you have the tree here so that you can break this view down by protocol. You can look for specific tables. You can look at specific structures used. You can view the plugins available within the language. So these are things that let you do the reassembly and the conversation work. As I said, that's all documented in our help file. You've got the actual parser editor. And you've got a message view. So if something goes wrong with your parser that you're developing and you compile, it'll actually spit out error messages here and tell you kind of what you've done wrong, and you can use that to correct your mistakes and compile again. The last thing I briefly wanted to mention is we have an API and an expert system now in 3.3. So the API really opens up the product. It lets you really just do whatever you'd like with our tools. And we combined our help in 3.3, so everything about the API is in the help and the product. You just go up to the help menu, it's there. We provide a library and a header file in API directory that's in the installed location of Network Monitor. There's a DLL there. It's not distributable, so if you're using the API, you have to install Network Monitor first. But the real question is, what can you do with it? And you can pretty much do anything you've seen with the product today. You can read and write capture files. You can capture live data. You can actually filter down on that data, use our parser set. You know, we have this breadth knowledge of parsers, and you have access to that in our API. So you can inspect the data fields. Don't know what happened there. You can get properties and comments from the data. You can get the descriptions that we show in the user interface itself. So, you know, if we have the nicely formatted IP string, you can just grab that right away. You don't have to do any special formatting yourself. You can grab the conversation information. So it really opens up the product to let you write programs to really dive in and do whatever sort of analysis or automated scripting that you need to do. You know, if you need to start capturing when a certain event happens in your application, you can actually just, you know, write a hook in using our API and just start that right off the bat. If you, you know, need to do more in-breadth analysis that's, you know, application specific, or you know when you're doing a file transfer, you want to see if, you know, specific bytes that are pertaining to your protocol are coming across, and, you know, launch more complex actions when you're doing that. You know, our API is a great way to dive in and do that. And with 3.3, we've added expert tools. So if you've got something you're doing all the time, you can actually encapsulate it into a tool that you can actually launch from the user interface and just have instant access to. So, and they can be context sensitive to what frames you have selected, and it just really lets you filter down. And information about that's up on nmexperts.codeplex.com, and there's a SDK there that lets you shows you how to integrate with our user interface and get that information. Unfortunately, I think I've gone a little over, but let me do a quick demo from what I showed before. So with my test capture, I showed that, you know, with our filters, there's a way to search down and find information. There's also a way to do that with an expert called Simple Search. So I can launch this expert, and as I knew before, there's a string called Mike. I can just type that in, and it finds that packet for me. I can see here in the hex details exactly where that was. So I was on some news site that referenced Mike Douglas, so there he is. The other cool thing with this tool is I can actually use regular expressions. So that's not something that we have built into our product, but here I can, you know, find multiple different types of web addresses with, you know, complex regular expressions. So it really opens up a lot more different searching possibilities with this simple little tool that I created using our API. And there's other tools available. There's a top users expert, which shows you the you know, can compare traffic. So if I quickly launch that, it'll come up here. It'll show me who was the heaviest talker in my trace. I can do a pie chart. So here I see this IP address is eating up a lot of traffic, but that might make sense in this case because it's me talking to all these other machines. So there's some really powerful analysis tools that we've opened up with our API. We're creating experts for and releasing on CodePlex. So you can look at the source code for this tool, figure out how to use our API, extend it. You can write your own tool to really do whatever you really need to dive down and do for your scenarios. So thank you for your time. I'm sorry I went a little over, and I'll leave the links up here, but let me take a quick question.
We can capture sometimes decaps with TSO on.
Mm-hmm.
Can Netmon handle the TSO with all the TCP packets being broken up by the hardware and thus having
So the question was using with the Linux PCAP format and TSO. Can network monitor handle that? Unfortunately, I'm not too familiar with TSO, so I can't answer that question, though Schumann's son is our parser developer, so she might know more about that, but we can talk offline about that. I'm sorry I don't have an answer for you right now, but we can find out for you. Any other quick questions? Yep. Mm-hmm. So the question is our file format documented? And it is. In our help file, we specify the specific layout of our headers and the frame data, so you can actually do whatever custom work you want to load or write our capture file format. But our API provides tools to read a capture file, get at the specific frame hex data, binary data, and you can even pass it binary data to write out to frames. So the API makes it really easy to work with our file format.
Yeah,
Beg your pardon? So the question is reading snoo files, snoop. If it exports to PCAP, then we should be able to read it. But I'm not too familiar with that tool as well. But do you know if it exports to PCAP? Right. Okay. So yeah. If there's a conversion chain, then we can read the PCAP. Because I think that's a pretty common one in the Linux world. So we can open those files. Great. So I think I apologize for taking up a little bit more time, but I thank you for coming here today. And if you have any questions, I'll be around. So feel free to ask me, and I'm happy to help.